Hey, I'm Jason Warner Smith. I played Gavin on AMC's The Walking Dead, and you're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through on Golden Spiral Media. Don't turn it off.
The Walking Dead Talk Through, episode 85, Warning Signs Review.
Welcome to The Walking Dead Talk Through, a fan podcast dedicated to The Walking Dead on AMC. Join us each week as we discuss the characters, story developments, and theories of The Walking Dead. Send in your thoughts about each episode by calling 304-837-2278 or by visiting our feedback page at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback. And now, here's your hosts.
Hey, survivors, and welcome to another fine episode of The Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm Brian.
And I'm Mark.
And I'm Kyle.
Kyle's back.
Hey, everyone.
Woohoo!
Missed you all, so I decided to drop by.
Well, we've missed you. And
bananas.
And now that the Cubs are done, and I guess it's World Series time, you don't have to go play shortstop anymore.
Nope, I don't.
All right. Well, we will be covering Season 9, Episode 3, which is titled Warning Signs. It is written by Corey Reed, who is a co-executive producer who started with the show in Season 5 as a supervising producer. And since Season 6, all these androgynous names, you never know. Anyway, I believe Corey is now co-executive producer and has been since Season 6. He has written or co-written a total of 14 episodes of The Walking Dead. And before that, he was a writer on Medium and Da Vinci's Demons. Directed by another veteran of The Walking Dead, Dan Liu. I think that's how you say his name. And he comes to the show as an editor of 24 episodes total of The Walking Dead. And I have a feeling it's actually more than that. But when I looked at it on IMDb, that's what it said, 24. But he directed Season 8, Episode 4 of The Walking Dead, Some Guy. And he also directed an episode of Fear from Season 4 that I guess I must have gotten interrupted while I was writing it down. I didn't actually write down the episode number. But before we get into our feedback for this episode, we've got a couple little things from the last couple of episodes. And the first thing is errata. Nobody called me on this, but I discovered it after the fact. Yes. So I'm penalizing myself to say that, and it's actually fitting for this episode. Elizabeth Ludlow, who you may know, well, you certainly know her, and she formerly played the character of a rat. I said that she is a series regular on the Fox show The Resident. That was incorrect. Or as we say on the Star Trek Discovery podcast,
incorrect.
It's actually, she only appeared in the pilot of that show. However, and Mark, I think you'll be interested in this, she has a fairly big supporting role in the upcoming Godzilla King of the Monsters.
Yay!
Sorry, that had come from a big Godzilla fan.
Yes, that I knew. And she is actually a series regular in an upcoming Netflix series, which I honestly, I don't know anything about. It is titled Another Life. So anyway, in fact, she wasn't a regular on The Resident, but she's got other stuff going on. Mm-hmm. That's probably why she's dead. I don't know. But anyway, okay, so we actually got some Twitter feedback for the last couple of episodes from our Twitter friend, Ken from Chicago. So, Mark, why don't you just read that stuff?
Yeah, well, Ken says, I agree. I wondered why they didn't put planks over the glass floor also. Not feeling Ken's death, he died recklessly. For a horse, despite being the only child of elderly parents, who blamed Maggie and the Saviors? Nope. Sorry. Hashtag don't die stupidly like Gregory. Hashtag squander chances. Episode 2 compared to episode 1, Justin might have been last second replacement on siren duty for a regular person who was sick. Why is Hilltop trusting Sanctuary to deliver vital ethanol? Love Anne and Gabriel, both mistrusted outsiders, hashtag Gabrianne. This showed likely to kill Ezekiel at the wedding, hashtag sad Carol.
Oh, boy.
Oh, please don't go there, pal.
Yeah.
I don't want to see a head on a pike. I agree that Rick is not seeing the trees for the forest, or forest for the trees. Probably what he meant.
I think so.
He's so focused on the big picture, but doesn't see the day-to-day dealings with the Sanctuary, like Daryl. Yes, he's a whole character this season. Or Maggie.
Yeah, so a couple of good points there. I hadn't thought about like him, Justin, being like a sub, but it does make you wonder why they would trust the Sanctuary to deliver the ethanol. I mean, I've wondered a lot about that. Like, they give the Sanctuary guys a lot of chances to screw things up, you know? But I have more to say about the ethanol later when we get to this episode. But, so I do not want to see Ezekiel dead at the wedding. That would be... Yeah, we don't need a red wedding, Walking Dead style.
No.
We've already got one red wedding, and I got through that.
All right, so let's move on to this episode. Kyle, what did you think of Warning Signs?
Oh, well, I gave it a rating of 1 out of 1 Family Fun Days Gone By. See what I did there? My own callback to season 1. I thought I was so clever when I came up with that.
It wasn't.
Fine. Okay. 9 out of 10.
I've just pulled your leg.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah, it was just a lot of people kept saying or like hearing different comments about family fun times and whatever. And it just, I don't know, just popped in my head.
Yeah, family fun.
So many callbacks this season. I'm like, I want to be a part of it.
Hey, it was definitely, definitely the family fun day. You know, all they needed was, you know, go to Chuck E. Cheese or something or the zoo.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be a dead zoo or a dead Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah, they're near DC, aren't they?
Yeah. All right, Mark, what did you think?
I gave it 9.5 out of 10 Dustin's dead body found by the communities.
Yeah, and boy, did they ever. All right, well, I went after a couple of obvious things. And one not-so-obvious thing. So I'm going to start with a not-so-obvious thing, which is different than the notes. I love this episode. I gave it a 9.5. Small Parts of the Deal. That is, of course, mentioned around the same time as the second thing, which is 9.5 A's or B's. And that both of those, of course, came from Jada/Ann. Jan.
Wow.
And, of course, then I have to refer to Jerry. Good old Jerry, when he talked about, you know, when they find the perp, whether it's going to be 9.5 Gregory's or Negan's. And I thought to myself, that's so funny. They have short formed whether or not they're going to kill someone or incarcerate them into simply Gregory's or Negan's.
Yep.
I love that. Hey, isn't this the first time that we actually see Jerry in an episode without Ezekiel?
Yes.
I think so.
For a while.
Yeah.
Except for when he was talking to his girlfriend and giving her a kiss.
Yeah, but Ezekiel was in that episode. Ezekiel was not in this episode.
He wasn't in the frame.
I just meant specifically.
Yeah, like he wasn't in a scene with him.
He wasn't in any part of the episode. Well, like Ezekiel, to my knowledge, was not in the episode at all. There were actually several characters that weren't in this episode. Tara, I don't remember seeing her, or Eugene.
Yeah, Tara's still on guard duty, and Eugene's still playing with ethanol.
All right, let's move on. We've got some listener ratings, so Kyle, why don't you start it?
All right, Steve gives it a 9 out of 10 walkie-whipped priest or pistol-whipped priest.
Yeah, I think it was her walkie, though.
Yeah.
I'll give the next one. Tilly, she says, and not to be confused with Ensign Tilly. That's a Star Trek Discovery reference if you don't get that one, listeners. I give this episode a 9 out of 10. Do people seriously still take the time to color their hair in the apocalypse? I'm looking at you, Arat. Nice. Yeah, I wondered that myself. Obviously not her natural hair color. All right, next.
Dieta says, I rate this episode 9 out of 10. It's about to go down in the new world. Smiley face, smiley face.
And Glynis gives it an 8.5 out of 10, ocean-sided.
And lastly, Diana gives it 9 out of 10 juicy tomatoes. Yes, the tomatoes were a victim this episode.
They looked really good, though.
Yes, they did.
Oh, yeah.
All right, time for awesome sauce.
Awesome sauce!
And I don't want to think how those tomatoes are fertilized.
Hey, if it makes a good tomato, whatever. All right. It's the apocalypse.
Yep.
It came out of me, go back in.
Closed circuit. All right, first is Tilly, and she says, Daryl and Maggie turning their backs on Arat getting killed. I totally agreed with what they did, but man, that was hardcore. Totally agree.
Yeah, it certainly was.
Yeah, it was pretty kind of amazing, though. And then she goes on, also a Rishon baby. That would be wonderful and sad at the same time, since we know Rick is leaving the show. Oh, don't say that, but yeah, true.
It reminded me a little bit of the conversation between Sasha and Abraham.
Abraham.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, Steve says, Rick's detective skills, pretty good for a small town sheriff.
Yep. Dieta, she has two. She says, Carol with a quick knife to the savior who had her by the throat, of course. And secondly, another Carol thing, Carol and Rick together in a scene. Yeah, they don't always have time together. It seems a lot more rare those two to be together in scenes than you would think.
Or like they're just like quick, like passing by almost and not really like the whole.
I think it's been like that since season 4.
Yeah.
All right. Well, next is Glynis, and she says, Oceansiders blindsided me. And we'll go more onto that later.
Diana says, people, when will you learn not to mess with Carol? The woman is a certified badass. I wasn't scared for her in that scene at all. I knew she'd get out of it.
that Carol scene, I love that too, of course, you know.
It was like we all knew what was going to happen, but
it was
kind of the suspense of like, what is she going to do?
They always underestimate Carol, and it's definitely, you know, whenever that happens, it's always good to see. But all right, Kyle, what do you have for Awesome Sauce?
Maggie, the Walker Slayer at the Oceanside Prime Universe. She like took out those walkers like it was nobody's business. And it was just so cool. Like, she just was in there just stabbing them all like they came out of that doorway. It was really, really cool. And Daryl and his nah, I won't attitude. He's just his whole like, I mean, you can tell so much that he's just not on board with Rick's like New World plan. And it's Daryl, and just, I don't know, I love Daryl so much. And so it's just like, there's going to be an interesting little headbutt between these two. And then I think, you know, just agreeing with what you did in your ratings, it was like this new, like, ZA pop culture terms is like, is this a Gregory or a Negan? Love that line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think when, Michonne writes her charter, there should be mentions to Gregory's and Negan's. We will consider the death penalty to be a Gregory.
Or a jail, yeah. So it's like, what is it, like a misdemeanor and a felony?
You have been sentenced to two Negans and a Gregory.
Dun, dun, dun.
Is this a Monopoly game?
All right. And of course, you know, if someone was sentenced to Negan's and a Gregory, that would mean he would be sentenced to death. But he could be tried on multiple things. So
well, I guess Michonne needs to, you know, work on that. Let us know.
Yes. Yes. The charter. All right. Mark, what do you have?
Well, definitely seeing Rick and Michonne and Judith as a family. Judith play acting sword fighting with Michonne. Is this preparing Judith to protect herself when she is older? I see that coming. The whole vibe out of the family dynamic that Carl wanted in his notes to Rick, it's all coming into fruition between the communities and everything else, and according to Rick's mind. So he's doing everything that he needs to with Judith that Carl had set forth. And I really do love this, even though it seems to be turning a little south. The next part would be Justin gone. He was bad news. I was not really a fan of him, but we needed somebody to die in this episode, and we got that.
Into that. I guess.
It's a trap!
Of course. You had the trap last episode, Justin. You're very much dead.
Yeah. And the next part would be Rick wants to be a baby daddy again. Wow. What and an awesome sauce all at once.
Yes. And to that, I will just picture in your mind the sounds of 70s porn music here. I'll see if I can find something for that, but
no boom chicka wow wow.
When I was watching those scenes, that's what I was going as, brown chicka brown cow. All right, well, most of what I was going to say for Awesome Sauce was said by you guys or said by the listeners. So I just had one thing, and that I gave an example of the Awesome Sauce, but it's something that Andrew Lincoln, I think, said at San Diego Comic-Con when he was revealing that this was going to be his last season. He described Angela Kang's you know, show running as, he said something like gentleness of touch or something like that.
She's steering the character development so that it's more graceful. And they're actually portraying the characters as how they should be rather than just scene by scene.
Yes. The characters are acting in character, which has been a huge issue with me the last few seasons of The Walking Dead. And I think the drama that we're seeing in this, you know, in these first three episodes is all drama generated by the characters being the characters. Like, for example, Anne/Jadis, right? Okay, she had been a good character, but let's face it, she'd done some despicable things and was always like backhanded and duplicitous. So her doing it again, it kind of fits, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but there was no depth before. Now that we're starting to hear a little bit of depth in her,
yeah,
it's showing more characteristics to the characters. We're not seeing Daryl grunt.
Right.
We don't know a little bit of Jadis's past.
Right.
There are a lot of things that are going on that they're actually bringing in the character into the character rather than just handing them lines.
Yeah,
exactly.
Or more than three words.
Right. And to Jadis's character, like I say, the fact that no one came to her defense except for Gabriel just kind of seeded the doubts that, you know, she's had. And what does she do? She bails. And we'd seen that before. She bailed, going back and forth, playing the Saviors and Alexandria against each other and things like that. So the way that she is acting is, again, right in the character. And I loved the references to things. So that would be, I guess, the second part of this. And I loved the line when Rick was talking to Daryl and he said something like, for example, not killing a guy who left your brother on a rooftop to die. I love that line.
Yeah.
Because it was so subtle, but so in character and reminding of, you know, past seasons. So I love that.
Yes.
Yeah. So, all right, let's move on to the week variety.
You're worthless and weak.
All right. Our first listener's weak sauce comes from Steve. And he says, Jed talking and acting like he's in an old West movie. Yeah. Jed was kind of a little annoying, actually.
Tilly says, Justin getting killed so soon in the season, he would have been a good annoying thorn in everyone's side this half of the season. Also, I'm very disappointed in the way that Anne is behaving. I mean, I was really starting to trust her. Now she's turning into the person who is the reason why we can't have nice things. Like what? The overalls when you're naked and molding people?
Well, I don't know if she's the only reason why we can't have nice things. I mean, you could also throw the same thing at the Oceanside.
Yeah.
Yeah, they smell of fish.
By the way, that's another example, going back to my awesome sauce. Doesn't it make total sense? Like, it was like one of those, like, oh my God, yes. It's like, why didn't I see this before? But of course it was the Oceanside that were killing the Saviors. They had it pent up for so long that they were going to, you know, explode in rage. And so it made total sense. Whereas Jadis, I think her anger would be directed at one Savior who's now dead. Mm-hmm. That was Simon, because it was all on Simon, right? I thought. Whereas the Oceanside, obviously they had grudges against several of the Saviors.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So, all right. Dieta says, Jed taking the tomato and trying to be all tough. Yeah, well, you could go right into the next one.
Yeah, and then Deanna says, every time Jed spoke, what a tool.
Indeed.
Yep.
You know, I mean, the only redeeming thing that I can say about Jed, which made me think that, you know, maybe there's some possibility of reform for this guy, is he said in the heat of the moment there with Carol, said, basically agreed that life is precious, essentially. That's not exactly how Rick is saying it right now, but it's essentially the same kind of the Eastman code. Every life is precious. But yes, Jed is a tool. Indeed. All right, Kyle, what do you have for week?
It was the Oceanside Cindy falling through the porch, and that was enough for the walkers to push through that boarded up door. I just thought it was like great timing. It was like a Lara Croft Tomb Raider trap switch. And then it's like immediately, like as soon as that happened, all of a sudden that was just enough for them to push through. It just, and it's kind of funny.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks like we've got a bunch of Oceanside stuff here. So, Mark, what do you have?
That would be the oddly placed harpoon that Daryl picks up when seeing Beatrice from Oceanside. That was a little foreshadowing, and it looked like Daryl knew what was going on from the get-go.
Yeah. And going along that, and this actually ties right into, Kyle, what you said. In the scene when Maggie and Cindy were fighting the walkers on the porch, why didn't they just get off the porch? I went back and in my last watch, like, tried to spend more attention on that scene. So I watched the scene actually a couple of times. And it's like, there was a point in the scene where it's like, just get off the porch. both of them could have gotten off the porch, but instead they just kept fighting the walkers that were on the porch. And I just thought, that's so dumb.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Oh, well, it made for the action.
Yeah. The main question, though, that I had with the Oceanside, why didn't they just kill Arat like the rest of the saviors? Why did they have to make a spectacle out of it? Why did they make her beg for her life? Was it just because that they begged for Cindy's brother's life? Is that why? Because if that's not true, why did they just do that to her? Like the other ones, they just killed them.
No, true. And that's a good point. But like, it also then makes you think of why did Justin wake up in the same, you know, because that first scene, there's all those signs and stuff like that. That's where they were, that they killed her at. So that was the Oceanside camp. So I'm wondering, you know, we just didn't see it, but maybe they also were like, hey, you know, beg or something like that. And then they just left his body there.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's the connection that I kind of made only after you bringing this up. But it was just kind of like, oh, but that's where he showed up.
Yeah. And I think I have this on my what sauce, but I'm going to say this now because it's related. Okay. So they were the ones that killed the saviors before. They're the ones that obviously got the saviors while they were making the ethanol delivery. So where's the ethanol? I mean, that might seem kind of obvious, but once you start thinking about it, like, okay, where did the ethanol go? What'd they do? Like, put it away somewhere? Like, are they hiding it? Are they saving it from, like, don't you think the next scene should be Maggie being told by Cindy where the ethanol is?
That's good.
They're saving it for Morgan, John Dory, June, because they got poisoned.
So in other words, the truck that they find in Mississippi came from... No, actually, that doesn't make sense. That not from the
no,
timeline.
No, that doesn't. Bad joke.
Yeah.
Oh, was a good joke. Like,
it almost worked. Yeah. And the last thing that I had was, Gabriel, you should have just gone along with Jadis/Ann until you had an opportunity to get out of there. Just placate her and because otherwise, like, you know that she's duplicitous. You know that, you know, she's a threat, a risk. Why would you openly defy her?
Like, yeah.
The smart play would have been to just wait for your opportunity and get out of there or restrain her somehow. And instead, you know, he gets bonk bonk on the head.
Well, and that's why I thought Jadis, like, why did, was she being so almost hostile with being questioned by him when she could have been like, oh, no, I like, she could have said anything and made it up and just said, oh, I was out just collecting flowers. So, you know, it's like he would have laid off. So just thought that was kind of, she could have played her cards a little better.
Yeah,
definitely. All right, let's move on to the sad variety. Which a lot of people are now calling aw sauce.
I know. Aw. Well, it kind of also makes me, reading some of these, I was kind of like, I don't know, is that sad or is that like cute? Yeah. Well, we'll start with our first listener sad sauce, which comes from Dieta. And she says, family fun day with Michonne, Judith, and Rick.
Yeah.
That just because it for what, like, there's just so much foreshadowing, maybe. Anybody having fun in this world is not usually a good sign.
Yeah. Once there's fun or happiness, it's, it's a bad idea.
It is a bad idea. All right. I'm going to read the next one. It's from Glynis. She has a few here specific to Rick. Rick wanting a family with Michonne. Aww. Which I love, but I just have to think that no good can come from that. The fun day Rick, Michonne, and Judith had together, one of the last few, which the only reason we know that is because we've been now told, and if you didn't see this, we'll be talking about this, but they told us at the end that only two Rick episodes are left. Aww. I may use that a lot. they're trying so hard to lead a normal life, but trouble is not far in this zombie apocalypse. Laughed at Talking Dead, where Andrew Lincoln says the actress twins who play Judith, the one calling him Stinky Linky and kept spritzing him with water to combat the smell.
Wow.
Stinky Linky, yes. Next one was Rick's statement to Daryl that Daryl could work better and nicer with the Saviors when he said to Daryl, like, not killing a guy that left your brother on the rooftop to die. Nice callback to season one with three sad, teary faces. I suppose we're in for more of those tearjerker reminders. And then dreading season 9, episode 5, as that is definitely Andrew Lincoln's last appearance. And by the way, if they troll us and suddenly it's there's going to be a lot of people mad.
Mm-hmm. I highly doubt it. I have a funny feeling. It's depending on his exit.
Yeah.
And we got into a little dispute on the Walker Stalker podcast. And, you know, James doesn't want to see that happen. Neither do I. But the thing is when Andrew stated that he's not done with Rick Grimes, it kind of leaves that, like, as an open statement. Is he going to come back later on? Does he not die? Or does he just move on? We don't know.
Well, I mean, there were some reports that Andrew Lincoln had done 6 episodes. And if that's the case, then I would expect him to come back in a flashback or something like that.
Same here.
Later in the season.
Yeah.
You know, either at the mid-season finale or the mid-season premiere or the season finale. But as a live character, you know, episode 5 is going to be his last. And as far as him saying that he's not done with the character, I think we talked quite a bit about this either last week or the week before, where, you know, he could come back in some other incarnation of The Walking Dead, like they did the Governor's story or the Here's Negan story, or something like that. Both of those, I think, would make great either series or limited series or something like that. And there would be a part for him in that, but he would be a supporting
character.
Yeah.
It would be a supporting character, but it would be in a past
right.
kind of yeah. look. Yeah.
Right. So she continues, and I hear they're even advertising it as such as the last two episodes for him. Still revealing too much now, in my opinion, where previously AMC would have kept all of this under wraps. And I think they're doing that for ratings, partially, but also, you know, it's like, I think the show's a victim of its own success as well, like spoiling Dead or whatever they call themselves, like, or even, you know, even Collider, who's supposedly this respectable, you know, website or YouTube channel or whatever. I mean, they're the ones that leaked it. And so the fact that it was leaked suddenly, I mean, what are they going to do? It's like, if yeah, they didn't, I think they were put in a corner, and their options were either they, you know, fess up or they try to be coy. But I think if they were coy, I think the shock, like, yes, it would be a huge spectacle when he dies, and it would get like a ton of viewers, like in, you know, Live Plus 3 and Live Plus 7. But I think so many people would be pissed off. And I think this helps prepare for people. So she continues. She says, this season 9, episode 5, as Andrew Lincoln's swan song, is doubly emphasized by director. The director of it is Greg Nicotero, and the writers are Matthew Negrete and none other than Scott M. Gimple.
What?
I yeah. dun, dun, dun.
That's impossible.
It is not impossible.
Yeah. Well, that was what I was thinking originally. It's like, wow, this is a final nail in the coffin, but I really don't want it.
I don't think anybody wants it except for maybe Andrew Lincoln. You know? And, but it seems like Andrew Lincoln, you've been gimpled. And I think it is my, our sole purpose, it, as far as this podcast, should be to make gimple a verb. Oh, they're gimpling now. They're gimpling. Anyway.
All right, we'll continue. And Diana says, Rick and Michonne deciding to try for a baby. Yeah, I agreed with it. Yeah. With you on that. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Kyle, what do you have for sad sauce?
Kind of following a little bit of what everybody else is already saying, but it was just like, I don't know. It's sad to, like, I guess in how this world, you can't ever have nice things. And you see the start of the episode, Rick gets out of bed. He's like, walks around his fully furnished house with nice wallpaper, lovingly checks on Judith in her fully furnished room and steps out on the porch to a world full of gardens and life. And it's just like knowing again that this is going to be like, it's not long, you know, till something bad happens and it tears it all apart. And it's just, I don't know, that whole just the feel and the scene, and, you know, we're in the zombie apocalypse and you just know that that's not going to last. And so that just makes me sad.
Yeah. And I'm still wondering what is going to happen to that girl.
Yeah.
You know,
well, my part of this would be that the Oceansiders are just talking or taking action in their own hands when it comes to the Saviors for past doings. There's a disturbance in the Force, or in this case, the communities. This will only divide the communities in itself later on. And this is pretty much just civil war right now. And I'm hoping it gets resolved before the actual mid-season finale, because I have a funny feeling Rick's departure will end that civil war at some point. Daryl and Maggie going to see Negan, that was really sad, because nothing good will come out of it, honestly.
Yeah.
She's got totally that crowbar, and who knows what she's going to do with it, and who knows.
Yeah, to that end, Maggie acknowledges that Rick's plan is better for the future and better for Herschel. Yet, she continues to go along the path of the dark side. So it is kind of sad because it's like she's stuck, you know, and to that end, Oceanside basically says, you know, well, you know, this is done. This is over. And this is the last one. And it's like Maggie, I think, says, well, it's not the last one because it isn't the last one because then the Oceansiders are going to retaliate.
Yeah, right? There hasn't been any resolve for anybody that's been right. unjust by Negan and his crew. So the Saviors have done so much to these people. Now Maggie's taking it into her own hands, and I see that the next episode is possibly her going out to Alexandria without Rick's knowing, and her taking that stance to actually talk to Negan firsthand. Whether or not she frees him, lets him go on his own device, and tries to beat the crap out of him, I don't know. But you got the Oceansiders that have their own agenda against the Saviors. You have the Saviors who are still saying, we are still Negan at some point. So this is all-out civil war amongst all the communities, and something big has got to happen to bring them all together. So we won't know, and hopefully by the end of this next episode. And then the last, you know, is it the last episode of this mid-season, or is it going to be just Rick's last episode?
Well, it's not the last episode of the-
Yeah, it's not.
It's so basically the fifth is just basically another episode after the fourth. Okay.
Yeah, well, there's eight episodes this half season.
Ah,
it's
yeah. We're not even gonna
yeah. We're gonna have three episodes after Rick's departure, wow. just before we get to the end of the half season. You know, So yeah, we are not done. So but this goes to my next point is that we only have two more episodes with Rick. Man, I thought I was gonna have more time with him. Yeah, I thought they were gonna draw it on at least to the mid season finale. But It seems like 2 weeks from today, we will be talking about Rick being off of this show. And I don't know if we're going to do something special for that. I think some of that will depend upon how it's going to be presented. But it's like mind boggling. This is the character that, you know, that drew me to the show. You know, like I instantly bonded with this character in the pilot, and in 2 weeks from now, he's not going to be on this show anymore. And that's like, it bothers me. Like I get emotional just thinking about the fact that I love Rick Grimes. I love him. He may be one of my favorite characters, period, not just of this show, but just in general of any television show, any movie, anything. And he's not going to be in my life anymore after this. It really bums me out.
Oh, well, he will be. You just have to read the comic. Oh, wait, you got something recently that you actually can read.
I was going to mention that. Yes, I received a gift from one of the Fran, who you've met, right? You've met Fran, haven't you?
Yes.
Yeah. She wasn't she at New York Comic Con?
Yep, she was at the meetup at the New York Comic Con with the other Zed Heads, and we got to see the season premiere together.
Yeah, so Mark and I are in a little gift exchange, and Fran drew me, and one of the gifts she gave me was the first compendium of...
Nice.
Yeah, so I've got 48 issues to go through.
There you go.
And you know, I said it to her that was something I've always wanted. So it's a fantastic present. Cool. Anyway, all right. So let's move on to what sauce.
What?
All right, Kyle.
All right. First listener is Dieta, and her what sauce is Anne Jadis, aka a secret operative in this apocalypse who's been trading A's and B's for supplies. What the hell? How is she the only one that keeps seeing this mystery helicopter? From what she says, that's how her and P people were surviving. So are we to assume there's someone or some people with a shitload of supplies trading to groups for people? I don't get why hasn't the same person or group approached any other group. Maybe if the saviors were allowed to participate, Negan may not have been such a jerk. Smiley, smiley, smiley face, and then, I guess, emoji. That's what I call it. And she says, this helicopter thing is starting to irritate me. Some frowny faces and a thinking one.
Yeah, we need Schwarzenegger coming and say,
get
to the chopper!
Get to the chopper!
All right, so let's take a minute here. Sure. I thought that the chopper was the Commonwealth. Mm. It seems like...
It seems like something different, completely.
Yes. Do you have any idea who this might be?
No, because in the comic book, there wasn't anything like this. So this is specifically TV written. And the Commonwealth didn't come in until way later after the Whisperer War. So the only thing we have that is common, quote unquote, to the Commonwealth would be Georgie and the twins. And that's all it is.
Right.
The chopper could be another community that might have been in association with the Commonwealth. And I'm just exploring here, but it could be somebody that is doing something where they're doing tests on somebody.
Yeah.
It could be part of the government. Who knows? So this is something that they're creating wholeheartedly on their own, which throws every comic book fan off the realm of what's going on.
Yeah.
Which, but if I had brought it up, like I stated before with the Walker Stalkers podcast, I gave three scenarios and you guys could fast forward this for about a minute. First scenario.
Well, it's not a spoiler because it
hasn't ever happened.
Never happened.
These are my spoilers and, in a sense where they're my thoughts, and usually my thoughts come out and people get upset. So
because you're a Kirkman.
Yes, exactly.
Your brother.
So basically,
disclaimer, Mark Kirkman is not the brother of Robert Kirkman.
or cousin, or third father.
Yes. I am your father.
Kirkman. Yes.
Or nephew.
Time for a DNA test.
Yeah, exactly, right? So basically, I had three possibilities and to Rick's departure, and one was what we don't want to see, but one was the and fast forward a minute, please, if you don't want to hear it. Basically, the saviors who are true Negan are going to go against Rick, against him on the bridge, and wind up stabbing him repeatedly where his wounds cannot be healed, and everybody comes to his protection. Secondly would be that it was a Whisperer that had done this, and he gets flown away on a chopper. Or flying away on a jetway. Don't know when I'll be back again. Kind of like that little attitude.
Don't sing on this podcast ever again. Just kidding, Mark.
It's okay. I do sing terribly, and everybody has mentioned it. Thirdly would be there was a story arc in the comic book where Michonne takes a trip on a boat, and that I don't see that foreseeing that happening in the show at all.
Yeah, it doesn't seem compatible with, like, because in the – is this prior to the Oceanside or is it – because
this is after.
Yeah.
So I think because Oceanside was a very small community that was mentioned in the comic, and that was it. And they were part of the communities, but not to the extent of what's going on in the actual show. So basically, it's either A, Maggie goes on a little ship and drifts off, and then maybe Rick gets taken off in a helicopter after something happens, or Rick dies and maybe Maggie flies off in a helicopter as being labeled A. I don't know.
Or the other option is that Rick is taken in the helicopter, or the helicopter kills him. But I tend to think that that is definitely a possibility, because the first time that we see the helicopter, of course, was in season one. And that was Rick. And then the second time we see the helicopter was in season seven.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Rick.
Yes, he always saw the helicopter. But we do actually see in previews that Jada sees a helicopter and is radioing with her.
Yeah, we know that she did, because last episode, that sound effect, the helicopter may not have been as obvious, but it clearly was a helicopter in the background that she saw, right? So, I mean, I went back and looked at it, and it's definitely a helicopter. So, yeah, I mean, I was thinking about, like, who could be the engine of his demise, or at least removal from the show. And I am really thinking that it's going to be something involved with this helicopter. So that's my thought. And I won't put a whole bunch of, like, you know, spoiler, because I am talking out of my buttocks.
So am I. So
yes,
people pay no attention to us.
But people only pay attention to you, Mark, because you're a Kirkman and you know everything, because you somehow have the last name of Robert. Anyway.
Well, tell that to James.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Mr. Fraser.
All right. You've got actually the next what sauce to go with. So,
yes, I do. Glennis says, and back to being bad Jadis. So Gabriel's not a B, but a type A. It sure keeps us guessing. Smiley face. We've also had a few baddies that are J's. Already we've had Jared, Justin, Jed, / the tomato plunderer. So obviously we've had some baddies with the name of J. But why would Gabriel be type B?
Yes, but let's not forget that we've also had good J's.
That is true.
Like Jerry.
Jerry.
I saw the sound effect for Jerry, and now I can't find it when I wanted to play it.
At least it wasn't Jared from Subway.
Yeah, Jared from Subway.
Yeah, that's not a...
Edit that out.
Yeah, you know, I've said that. I said that I don't know how many times with Ruthie in season 7, and it went over like it just did. To that end, I did find it now.
Jerry? You sick with this stick, man?
Jerry!
Gotta love Jerry.
Gotta love Jerry. All right, next, speaking of the J's, Diana says, Jadis the double crosser. Yes, indeed. Yeah, she has lost her use of Anne, at least for now. All right, Kyle, what do you have for what sauce?
All right, like everybody else, the A's and the B's and the flowers and the trees and the moon up above, the thing called love. Mark, what's, don't worry, I can't sing either.
What song is that?
It's the birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees and the moon. It's the sex song.
Okay.
Anyways. I mean, with all this talk of trading people, like, my mind went to just having visions of Terminus.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, Jadis / Anne, like, is she serving up meat to get supplies? And I know that's not it, but if we didn't already have that experience of Terminus, then it wouldn't have made that connection with trading people. So yeah, it's
yeah. And you know, I said it in my what sauce below, but I was had to recall the fact that in the season finale of season 7, Jadis and Negan talk about the deal, and there is direct mention of people that were going to be brokered. Yeah. And, you know, then there's never been any kind of mention of it again until now. So I think that that's obviously, and of course, Gabriel asks her about it, but clearly that had to do with that's, you know, that finally explains what was going on there. That we kind of suspected something like that, but I don't think we realized. We thought they were going to be slave labor, but not like traded. So
that's just what's so weird about this whole thing. It's just like, what would you be trading people for? They wouldn't be,
yeah,
they wouldn't especially willingly be wanting to go if it's like this so wonderful like place.
Well, yeah, well, think about it. The last time we saw Jadis doing that with the helicopter, which she had a walkie-talkie in her hand, she had Negan on a backboard with wheels tied and a Zed trying to chomp on him. What worth is it of somebody else with somebody who's been bitten?
Yeah, that just opens up a lot of other, like, you know, the CDC-ish weird stuff.
Yeah.
And like what government is an A and what is a B?
Like, yeah, A is not affected. B is bite.
is A a leader and B a follower?
I would assume so, because I hate using whisperer terms, but alpha and beta.
Yeah, that's the other kind thought.
My thing that popped up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, there's a lot more of that, I'm sure, that we're going to talk about. And then my last what sauce was, and Rick wants babies. Like, is Judith not enough? And what about that other child that they orphaned from the Saviors? We don't see her anymore, do we? Whatever her name was.
Yeah.
Oh, Gracie. Well, we know that Aaron has Gracie because he mentioned the whole thing about the diaper exploding.
Okay. I figure Rick would just keep all the kids since he wants
I think Aaron's going to need Jesus's help or Daryl's help with changing that diaper.
Yeah, because, you know, when it comes to changing diapers, you could use the heavenly assistance of Jesus. Because who else could pick up crap like God?
And if you picked up the variant issue of The Walking Dead on Walking Dead Day, they had a lovely version of Jesus on the variant cover looking like Christ.
Oh, boy.
It looked interesting. It was pretty fun. Mine would be, what's with Ann Jadis? The A or B factor? We brought this up before, just before. This was something that has been bothering me since last season. A or B. It's been a constant symbol throughout the past four seasons. First at Terminus with the cannibals, then with Negan putting those letters on the people, because you saw Daryl with an A, you saw other people with a B, but it seems we will have answers soon. Hopefully soon. Because apparently there is some sort of link with Negan regarding this, and what Brian mentioned before, something about a deal with trading people. And people are a resource, according to Negan. So what does Negan know about Anne?
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
That is a good point. Yeah, obviously he does know something. He must, right?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah.
And then Anne Jadis stating Gabriel is a B. This is one of her secrets she couldn't tell Father Gabriel, who makes an A. Negan was listed as an A since it was very similar to how she treated Negan last season when the Choppa was around, when she had the walker, you know, the walkie-talkie. Rick had an A on his little cell when Jadis had him in his boxers and had that deal with him and had Winslow negative 2.0. last season as well, go after him. It was kind of weird because you saw that on the actual cell. Mm-hmm. And he comes out and she was very much attracted to him, wanting to be with him in her own way, which is really eerie and weird. But why was Rick an A? Negan an A too. Why? Because they were alpha. They were alpha supreme. They were taking charge. And what was with the whole thing with the biting of, like, you know, you had, like I said, the Winslow negative 2.0. And then on top of that, you had Negan on the board being tied down, and she had a Zed on top of him. And in certain previews, we see that with Father Gabriel, but we don't know exactly if that is her. But I, you know, from what me going through all the previews and everything, I could surmise that's what's going on with her in the trash heap. You know,
yeah.
It was Father Gabriel a possible A? She mentions it, and then she just says, oh, I guess you're a B. So who's next, Daryl or Maggie?
I thought that what she said was, all this time I thought you were a B, and then she hits him. So wouldn't that mean that he was an A because he kind of stood up to her?
Yeah,
that
makes sense.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought she said A.
No,
but you were an A.
She said, all this time I thought you were a B, and then she hits
him.
Yeah.
So it shows somebody of power, somebody who is in control.
That's what I'm thinking it means.
Gosh, this is probably the first time in a long time that we're at a what, and we're just like, I'm actually intrigued.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm very intrigued.
Because it is kind of really weird, but it's... There's no explanation for it really at this point, but you have to think it's got to do with, like, maybe it has to do with them experimenting, or like maybe they kill, maybe any A's or B's are killed, and the experiment is that an A will, like, turn in, you know, 2 minutes, and a B will turn in 5 hours or something like that. Like, it has something to do with the strength of will or some bull crap. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. No, I don't want it to be something like as cheesy as that. I want this to be like something more sinister or more like government involved. That would be interesting to see. But
oh, yes. And she says that you could have a paradise, or, you know, what did she say specifically? She made it sound like it was...
you could live and, like, yeah, live well or live good or...
Yeah.
Yeah,
but, I mean, to what end? And what does Janus know about whatever this is? Like,
yeah.
It's so many questions. So many questions. But they are good questions. They are not stupid questions. And unlike the garbage people... I'm not sitting here going, this is insane. Like, you know, these people are 20 years too soon. I'm not, whatever this is, this seems totally in line with the kind of stuff that you'd see. I don't know what.
Better than the garbage people.
Yeah.
Well, maybe, and this is just like me throwing my thoughts out there. Remember when the CDC went down?
Yeah.
So the doctor that was there, who wasn't really much of a doctor, said everything started breaking down, but they lost contact with a lot of people. Maybe
only
this
the
was
French.
Yeah, but maybe this was lost contact within Washington, and maybe it's government based, and maybe the Commonwealth is just an offshoot of a community developing on its own from an offshoot of that particular government base, and now this is a different baddie that they're trying to propel for future seasons.
Yeah, like Valhalla.
All right, well, this is one of those things that I worry about saying this because this could be misconstrued, or that this, even saying something like this may sound unintentionally racist, but I don't mean it that way. I just happened to notice, and I'm not the only one that noticed this, but why did suddenly Cal look like Glenn? And to me, I never thought that Cal looked like Glenn before, but the way that he was styled here, like his hair was kind of like poofy like Glenn, and he had like some kind of growth, you know, on his face like Glenn did, it kind of made him look like Glenn. It was like very noticeable.
He had those features, and
I'm trying to say it wasn't honestly, because he's Asian, okay? It was not, well, just that. It was the way that he was styled,
like his hair,
facial hair, all of it looked Glenn like. Like I could tell it wasn't Glenn. Okay, I never thought that it was Glenn, but the fact of the matter is that he was made sort of to look more Glenn like in that scene, and I thought I have to think that was intentional, but I also feel like just mentioning it, the fact that some may hear that and go, you're a racist or something. And it's like, that's not it at all. It's just that he never looked like Glenn before. Why does he look like Glenn now?
Well, maybe that was a diversion by the producers to say, hey, that's, you know, Maggie's love interest, and it's not, and it's right. Somebody else.
Yeah, completely. I didn't see a dumpster behind him.
Oh, God.
Sorry, I had to.
Maybe it's that savior that she's been, you know, talking to a lot that tries to talk sense into Rick, you know?
By the way, I thought that was funny, that scene with Maggie, Rick, and what's his name? Aiden. I realized that all three of them are not from America. And they're all playing Americans. Two are from England and one is from Australia.
Yeah. Lauren Cohan was originally born in New Jersey. She was just raised in England.
Yes, I knew that.
But the accent, you know, like they speak, they're very good at their American.
And she's losing her accent for Whiskey Cavalier.
Well, yeah, but I noticed a couple of times when she was speaking, like on in the interstitial scenes on Talking Dead and the behind the scene stuff that you can get on AMC Premiere and on YouTube as well. I'm noticing that she seems to be losing more and more of her accent.
She's living in America. She's getting Americanized. Didn't happen to Andrew, so that's a good thing. I'm glad. But, you know, she was raised by Americans in England, and that kind of, you assimilate to that accent after a while.
Right.
I think.
How old was she when she moved to England?
She was like between 9 and 13 at the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's older than I thought. All right. So let's move on to regular feedback.
We can talk about it.
We're done talking. Time to listen.
Okay, so we have a voicemail from
Steve.
Steve.
Hello, Brian and Mark. I'm recording this and hoping it sounds good. My first recording didn't sound good, so I'm trying it again. Loved this episode. Absolutely loved Warning Signs. I thought it was great. I thought it was great that we're seeing a couple of things that we haven't seen in a while from this series is the tension, not just tension with walkers, but tension between our groups. We're seeing a little bit of mystery going on. I really liked that scene at the beginning with Maggie and the not Glenn, and that with Jed, that savior Jed, that very tense situation. I really felt like that could blow up at any moment. And then, of course, we have a couple more instances in the episode where things could just blow up and go wrong. I'm curious about this arrangement between Jadis and the helicopter community. How long has it been going on? Why did she wait a year and a half to start taking people or trying to trade people. I'm not sure what's going on with that, or maybe she just used the fact that people were disappearing as her chance to do that. Absolutely loved. And when I rewatched it this evening, I loved it even more. The mirroring of the scenes at the end, the scenes with Carol and Rick as they're tracking those saviors that had left, and then they attack them, and they attack, the saviors attacked Carol and Rick, and they let them live and then let those saviors leave. And then we have the very similar situation seen with Daryl and Maggie, where they track down the Oceansiders, but let them kill Arat. And even though the Oceansiders say that Maggie's killing of Gregory was the catalyst that started it, you have to think they had this kind of vengeance plan in mind for a while. They were just waiting for something to kind of spark them. At the end, Daryl and Maggie are walking away, and they're carrying those cans, or Daryl's carrying the cans. And I thought they were going to go burn the bridge and like burning the future, but I realized that's just the ethanol that the Oceansiders had stolen from the saviors they killed. So, really excited for next week. I loved Lauren Cohan's portrayal of Maggie. I love how every once in a while she lets that farm girl accent come out. And we heard that tonight with that final line of "It's time to go say Negan." I just love that. And I know I did a terrible impression of that, but can't wait to hear what you guys thought. Talk to you next week.
That was awesome.
Yep.
Yes. And you know, I said to you guys, don't sing on this podcast. Steve, probably don't do imitations.
I'm that kidding. Was a good image.
I'm kidding. Yeah. And there's a little bit more from Steve. Mark, why don't you read that?
He continues on saying, "Was I the only one that knew?" I'll do that again. "Was I the only one that knew, like Daryl did, that the bolt he saw and said, 'I know who took a rot,' that it was the Oceansiders? I was proud of myself for noticing it and thinking it."
Well, I can tell you unequivocally that I was completely duped. I, at one point, and Mark, I think you can attest to me, because I know you saw this message. At one point, I thought it was Henry. And I thought to myself, what an idiot. Usually I'm a little better at deducing, as Jerry would say, who the perp was. But I did not see that it was going to be the Oceansiders. But as soon as it was revealed, I was kind of like, oh. But I guess when I saw it the first time, I couldn't tell what it was. Like, I didn't see that it was a harpoon or a bolt or something. I didn't clue into it.
Yeah, I saw that firsthand when he picked it up, and it looked, I'm like, wait, that looks like a harpoon, almost similar to a bolt.
Yeah.
So that, and he had that questionable look on his face, and I'm like, yeah, he knows something. So I didn't really want to say anything.
And it was kind of funny. Cindy said, you know, and whoever, you know, did this will, you know, get theirs or whatever. And like, that's the thing that I'm wondering now. It's like, okay, so Daryl and Maggie know it was them. But I have to think that, you know, Rick had his... Rick must have suspected something, although now he's going to suspect Jadis for it, because of what Jadis did, and not because of, you know, he shouldn't have been able to suspect Jadis until she did something to make herself guilty. So anyway, I have to think at some point that it's going to be more than just Jadis. Or sorry, more than just Maggie and Daryl that realized that it was the Oceansiders, and what's going to happen when that's revealed. Because, you know, it's the whole community, essentially, you know, or whoever is involved with that is guilty or complicit in killing the saviors. And I brought this up before, like, where's the fuel? That's the the big question now that I want to know.
Where did it go?
Are they hiding it? Are they taking it for Oceanside? What's going on there? You know?
Maybe here's a thought. Maybe it went to Toledo.
Oh boy.
Sorry I had to throw that in.
Well, we don't know about Toledo except for where Corporal Klinger. But I believe if I'd have to go back and look at the signposts for MASH, but I have to think that Toledo is listed there because, of course, Klinger was from Toledo.
I remember. Yeah, I think they just threw that in there for fun and a gag.
Next is Diana, and we haven't mentioned Diana's name before. She's a new contributor and new to the Facebook group, but you may know Diana because she is one of the hosts of the Aim for the Head podcast. So, hello, Diana. And to that, I have to say, give you the Instant Showcase Award, along with you, of course, Steve. You're going to let this all get to your head, Steve, because how many is it now that you've gotten? You're going to be like the undefeated Showcase Award winner.
Well, hopefully he'll join us soon.
Yeah, we'll have you on. Maybe we should have him on for the Rick episode, the last Rick episode, and have the four of us do it.
Actually, I probably might not be able to because I'm going to be
out of town. Oh, shucks. Okay, well, then definitely we'll. Steve, make sure you have no plans that night. we'll definitely have you on.
I'll let him know.
Yeah. Anyway, Diana, well, if you want to come on too, you could come on that night because it'll be a special night. Anyway, she says, loved a lot about tonight's episode. Great writing, great tension, just loving the direction of this season. Such great improvements. I have to say, though, that one of my favorite things about this season is how the walkers have become a threat again. And they're very mangled. I just added that. That wasn't her. But it's kind of funny, like that ooze that when Cindy, you know, tried to get that one walker. It's like it wasn't pus, but it was kind of like, I don't know, sewage or something. liquid flesh. I don't know. But she continues. She says, I keep meaning to come over and comment after the show. And then when I listen to your podcast, I'm like, crap, I forgot to comment again. So finally got my shit together. LOL. And like you mentioned last week, I think, that you listen to other podcasts. Yeah, I did mention that last week. She says, I appreciate that. I personally like listening to other people's thoughts and see if their thoughts and theories are lining up with mine. And yeah, I mean, that's exactly kind of what I do. And like I said last week, you know, I want our podcast to be not definitive, but, you know, because we'd never be that. But with the time that we have to prepare, I want to basically have as much listener feedback as we can get and just present to you as many good insights and opinions about the episode, some of them from us, some of them from other people. So that is always the thought there. Kyle, you have something from Tilly.
All right, Tilly, her feedback starts as, hello, I've been listening and lurking, but always miss the deadline. I'm glad I caught your reminder today. Big smiley face. I'm really enjoying the series this year. I prefer it when the show puts equal focus on relationships between people as they do with people versus nature / walkers. Thanks for the podcast and keep up the great work. Aw, thank you, Tilly, and I'm glad you've caught the reminder and added some comments.
And it's always funny how, you know, I'll be like, oh, we don't have any feedback. Maybe I should put something up. And then all of a sudden I put something up. We get a flood of
No, that's good, though. It's like,
too much. We'll have a 3-hour podcast.
Well, we like them, though.
We definitely do. All right. And one of our favorite people that gives us feedback almost every week, not every week, but almost every week, is from longtime listener Dieta. So she says, Maggie and Daryl find out who is offing the saviors, and I'm like, yeah, good riddance to the ingrates. Oceanside gets a high five for me. Hopefully Maggie and Daryl finish Negan for good. This is going to cause an uproar in New World. Yeah, in fact, I think all of that, both what the Oceanside has done and what I fear Maggie and Daryl are about to do, will cause an uproar. So she continues. She says, the saviors walk off the job, leaving a half-finished bridge that was supposed to help get supplies and food to them. And then she's got kind of arms in the air. Again, poor reader of emojis. She says, oh, well, let them starve. Like I said in my last comment, once I learned that Negan was gone, I would have had all my stuff packed and moved into one of the other flourishing communities, singing ding dong, the witch is dead, as I skipped happily out of the sanctuary. Peace out, saviors. Yeah, I think that it's kind of funny. It's, I mean, we've seen the characters really act in character, but the saviors, unfortunately, are acting in character where, you know, they seem to be stuck in the past. And, you know, like I had wondered, Arat, I think I had this in my notes. Arat, do you think she reformed? You know, do you think that she was still a bad person when she got killed?
No.
I don't think so either. I think she had reformed, and I think that I was going to say this earlier, and then we got kind of sidetracked. But I think one of the other podcasts, I'm not sure which one, it might have been Walking Dead Cast. It might have been, in fact, I think it was Jason on Walking Dead Cast mentioned about in South Africa there was like some kind of special process that they, I don't have it in front of me, but some kind of tribunal process or something where it allowed like kind of like in Festivus the airing of grievances. But it was a chance for both the victims of apartheid and the actual you know, bad guys, whatever you want to, I don't know South African politics well enough, but the perpetrators of the apartheid were able to kind of like say their own, give their own sides of things, and it allowed the process of healing to occur. But I think that's the problem here, is that there hasn't been a chance. They've just been forced to live together, but not had a chance to heal, right? Yeah. And I think that, you know, maybe an external, you know, conflict will help that. But I think that's essentially like Daryl said, you know, this was bound to happen because, you know, like especially Oceanside, those wounds were deep, very deep. Yeah. And, you know, like I said, they were pointing the finger at Jadis. Or Anne, sorry. it's confusing now.
It's like June.
I know. Yeah,
June, Laura, whatever her name is. But in the case of Jadis, I'll just use Jadis, I think that you could argue that the anger would be directed at Simon. And because it was all Simon. I mean, yes, the soldiers did, you know, carry it out, but I think it was all, I think she would be right to focus her anger on Simon, but the Oceansiders could focus their anger on several of them from the sounds like, and especially when Arat admitted that, you know, she laughed and that she said no exceptions, which of course was exactly what Negan said just before he killed Glenn. And of course, that was enough for Maggie to turn around, you know. So,
yeah, well, that, I mean, there's lots of parallels that you could draw from, like, just, you know, Germany and, you know, the World War II. And it's like after the war, you know, you could even put them saying the saviors or, you know, the Nazis or just the bad people that did a lot of things thinking that they could and they were more powerful. And I think that's what our group, especially Oceanside, it's like they don't get a pass. It's like you were a part of that. You never stood up. And I, you know, they're taking retribution, but you're right that there's not this healing. Like Rick should be doing more to bring those groups together to heal so that you can move on, because otherwise you're still going to have this going on. And that's what I feel like we're seeing.
Yeah. They needed more mediation.
Yeah. They just got pushed together and then like, hey, let's stop killing each other. And yeah, I could see where Rick's mind that's, he's trying for that, but it's not easy to do.
That trade embargo is not working. It's more about bringing the communities together to talk.
Yeah.
And regardless of past indiscretions of what they've done to each other, they should come together. And that's really what Rick hasn't really been doing.
Right.
Right. He shouldn't be having family fun days. He should be out there trying to bring them together and be the leader.
Exactly.
Well, he should be having family fun days, but what he also should be having is family, crying days, you know, but like seriously, there needed to be, a coming together between the victims and
the instigators.
That clearly didn't happen. And I think if, you know, instead, essentially, you know, the saviors were essentially in a halfway house, you know, a very big one, but, you know, essentially made to stay where they were and not really given any weapons. So they were, you know, kind of...
they weren't assimilated into the rest of the other groups.
Exactly.
They took their weapons away. The thing was is that they weren't, like Kyle stated, they weren't assimilated.
Right.
In a sense where they weren't accepted, saying, you're just as equal as we are. And that's... It's like, all right, you did this, you did that, you did that. We're going to keep you all separate. We're going to trade amongst ourselves. But now we're stuck in this where we still have hidden anger and we're going to just take it out. And that's where the Civil War is coming into play.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. To that, I would say.
We are the Borg. You will be assimilated. Resistance is futile.
That worked out well.
Yep. Deanna has more. She says, overall, in my opinion, a better episode, except for the black operative Jada stuff. Starting to get a little apprehensive about Rick's final episodes. Sad face, frowny face. There looks to be another civil war brewing in the new world with, how would you describe that face looking up, followed by a couple of wow faces.
Looks like a smiley face and wow, wow, wow.
It's not a like, smiley face.
It looks like a more like concerned.
Ah, yes. A concerned face. Yes. Yes. I must take a course in emoji.
I don't know them all either, but
it's like
same here.
Yeah.
We're showing our age.
Yes. Mark, what do you have next?
Glenna says, with respect to the Oceansiders and my awesome sauce, I thought for sure Justin was killed by the Whisperers. A good red herring duping that theory. So geared for the Whisperers to make an appearance to the extent of galloping far down that road, plot road, I'm a little surprised that good, sweet, and kind Cindy went to the extreme murderous revenge level. It could have been done differently, for example, having some sort of panel review the Savior Acts and then pass a sentence. So would be a little more civilized and unlawful executions? Possibly. And likening it to Maggie hanging Gregory isn't the same thing really as, yes, she made the decision herself, but did it publicly and didn't hide it. The no exceptions is Negan's terminology, so that was what tipped Maggie over the edge and to walk away from saving a rot. Negan warned the lineup about that in Season 6, Episode 16, and Season 7, Episode 1. And I wonder what Daryl was thinking in that scene when Cindy told them about their group's fate at the hands of the Saviors. As Daryl contravened that Negan no exceptions rule and thus indirectly caused Glenn's death because of Negan's no exceptions, the first one is free speech rule.
I had not thought of that, but that is worth discussing. I wonder if they'll mention that next episode, because looks like from the previews we see Daryl and Maggie walking some more. So I wonder if they talk about that, because Daryl was basically the cause of the no exceptions rule.
Yeah,
getting carried out.
Exactly.
So,
and Maggie and Daryl are walking, and they're talking, and they're walking. The Walking Dead.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I had to take that from Robot Chicken. And we're walking, and we're walkers, and we're talking. So, sorry. I thought a little pun in there would be fun. She continues on, saying, so Maggie and Daryl are now gunning for Negan, and I doubt Tara will be able to block Maggie's purpose, especially with Daryl in tow. But Michonne will also be around. I wonder if it'll only be Rick we lose, or will it be other major characters apart from Maggie? So interested to see how that plays out, as I think Rick will be knifed by a quiet talking walker and not caught in between Maggie and Negan's clash. But we'll see. Maybe the Whisperers will only appear and be introduced after Rick leaves / dies in that clip with Rosita and Eugene scrambling in the muddy water in the hide, which is a possibility. I have a funny feeling that's probably going to be just before the mid-season finale, and I do agree with her, but that's definitely going to happen after Rick's departure.
Yeah.
It was nice to have scenes with Rick and Carol again, with his confessions of grappling with keeping Negan alive, and they sure showed those two saviors who was the boss. And I think Tony Danza was not there.
Hold me closer, Tony Danza. All right, our next bit of feedback actually comes from Twitter again, from our favorite Twitter friend, Ken from Chicago. He says, tonight on The Walking Dead, more people act more shady in the first 15 minutes than most folks do all day. Yet despite missing shipments, there's an odd lack of security guards around food shipment, bridge workers, only one person on guard at night, etc. Yeah, that we kind of alluded to some of that earlier. It does seem like, especially with all the stuff going on, you would think that they wouldn't like wander off on their own. You'd think they would have a guard at least. It only stands to reason that the Saviors would end up getting dead. And if it wasn't from the Oceansiders, they would.
It could be somebody else.
It could be somebody else, or of course, walkers. So, yeah. And we got one more bit of Twitter feedback, more of a general comment.
And that comes from Matthew. And he says, issues with The Walking Dead is that it hasn't done anything new in about 7 years of storytelling. It's just done the same thing over and over, but more seriously. The first couple of years had great story momentum.
Yeah, and I don't know if I would agree, Matthew. I think that especially this season, I think we've seen some more interesting storytelling, and I do see them doing things differently this time around. So, but I don't know, like he may have just been reacting to something that I said on Twitter. I think I said when I tweeted that the only thing that isn't good this season on The Walking Dead are the ratings. And he might have been just reacting to that, but I don't know. I tend to think that I've been very pleased so far with the season.
I kind of could see where, yeah, if it's not ratings about the story, you know, just storytelling. Like, we've had moments where there's been seasons that were really, really good or interesting, and then other seasons it kind of like either got drawn out too long, or like the Negan War, like all that war should have really only been one season.
Yeah.
You know, but they drew it out, and it's like, yeah, you can only do so much fighting back and forth. And
yeah.
So,
yeah. And certainly in the last, you know, few seasons, I think that this is the best season in several compared to, like, say, certainly season 8, the beginning of season 8. I think this is way better than the beginning of season 8. Yeah. The season 7. I may look at it and think that my ratings of season 7 at this point were higher, but was much more of a downer, especially that episode 1 and episode 3. Of course, episode 3 was Easy Street. So anyway, I think that I'm very pleased with both just the quality this season, and that I think it does feel different to me. It seems more mature. It seems less gimmicky.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I hate to say it, but I Gimple has gimpled stories, and you could even see his work in Fear the Walking Dead this past season. The use of gimmick, the use of, like, you know, clever ways of telling stories as opposed to, you know, character driven stuff. And I'm seeing much more character motivated actions, and character stories, which I think, you know, I remember the season premiere, and, you know, I think I just gave it a 9. It wasn't that high, but, compared to what we had all witnessed in the season finale of Fear, I didn't have the kind of negatives. Mm-hmm. I haven't had those kind of feelings with this story that we're seeing unravel in this season yet, of like stupid stuff. Like, you know, how could Morgan sleep for 500 miles in the back of a truck in the middle of a hurricane? You know,
yeah.
How could he walk to Mississippi? You know, crazy stuff that just doesn't make sense. And I don't see any of that here. Anything. Yeah. Not even close. All right, Kyle, let's get to our own feedback.
Yeah, and I just, you know, obviously I want to go back over the same stuff other people were saying that we've discussed. But I thought it was cool. It's like, did you at the first scene where Justin was walking past the wall, like, you know, obviously we find out that's the Oceanside's, I'm calling, ranch. But when they were when he was walking past the wall, it said it said final warning.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I was like, I was immediately thinking, like, ooh, whisperers. Like, that's something, you know, that's, ooh, what is that? What's going on? Cause, you know, we were kind of leading to believe that the whisperers were behind Justin's death, or like something up. We know they're coming. But then at the end, making that connection that was, you know, that Simon saying that to Oceanside is like, that's your final warning before, you know, he took over and killed everybody. And then knowing then, like, oh, that's the Oceanside ranch that, you know, she said that's where they, you know, they stayed at a place like that. Like, I loved that connection from the beginning of the episode to the end, because I totally did not make that until, you know, it was given to us. So I thought that was really just a really cool part of the episode. And I'm starting to wonder that Rick and Michonne were, like, sheltering Judith a bit. But then until I saw Michonne doing the sword fighting with her and stuff like that, I mean, I get that, you know, she's still a child, you know, I don't know how old she is. But I did like to see that little part that's like, yeah, this kid is growing up in this world. Who knows if she's even really seen a walker, you know, like, or gone through any of that. But it's just like, it's still going to be really like this, I don't know, whatever happens with Rick or what's coming up, like, of how she as a child is going to deal with something bad happening. So I don't know. I'm curious if they'll even go there, but and the other part was just like, I'm feeling like this whole setup with Rick, like his last episode, is he speaks so much about, like, you know, like giving life and not taking it anymore. You know, it's like building a new world and like getting everybody into it to, like, you know, live and like create and like share. And it's starting to scare me that Rick is like going to be facing something where he like sees the end of his own life only to be watching what he's done being torn apart. And it's going to, I feel, I'm, you know, we don't know, but I just feel sad. It's like he's going forward thinking like, I'm building a community, I've got my family and all this stuff. And then what is if the last thing that he sees is everything around him being destroyed? It would really tear me apart.
I hope you're wrong, but I wouldn't be surprised if you're right.
It's just the feeling I'm getting with how they're telling the story so far. Well, that was all I had.
All right, Mark, what do you have?
Well, we already spoke about the Rick being an A and Anne and everything else, so I'll move on to the next, which would be, how will Father Gabriel play out for the rest of the season and series after Anne was very deceptive with him? We do see in the previews from the San Diego Comic-Con that the time jump comes and he has a goatee. So we're already seeing some things ahead of time, because he was clean-shaven when she knocked him over after she had a little conversation after she made him that little pretty frog sculpture and all that stuff. Then we see him meeting other people. We haven't seen that scene yet, so what is the future of Father Gabriel?
Yeah, and it looks like they're maybe in a church or some kind of like tribunal or something. Like it did seem like they were in some building that's a bigger structure when they meet these other people, like the character that is deaf. I can't remember who she's supposed to be, and this Magda and the deaf character's sister or whatever. It looks like they were in a church or some hall or something like that. It's not really obvious, but I have to start thinking that this is going to be something we're going to see after the departure of Rick. Don't you think?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
Definitely.
It has to be.
Yeah, because Father Gabriel looks completely different. And like I said before, he was clean shaven when he was with Anne or Jadis. And she knocked him out saying, I thought you were a bee, like you said before.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, it's like we're seeing these other previews from later episodes, and he's got a full goatee. So obviously, you know, he has that going for him. Maybe Anne is gone at that point, and now he is taking lead of what's going on within a congregation.
Yeah.
And bringing people in, and the groups are doing this while Rick is gone.
Yeah, I have to wonder if Jada / Anne / Garbage
Pal Kid,
if she is not far from gone in this world, you know,
there's still some sort of semblance of what she used to be.
Yeah,
because she brought them to the museum. She talked about the seeds, that she was a teacher. So obviously there are still elements of her from her past.
Yeah, and
she really wanted it to work.
Yeah, but at the same time, she took that first, like, just hint of the Savior's, you know, blaming her, and she has just, you know, assumed that Rick thought that it was her, and I don't actually think that he thought it was her, because, like, you see him talking to Daryl, for example, and, you know, he mentions what killed Justin, and I don't think it would have been anything that Jadis slash Ann would have had, right? Like a bolt or arrow.
Yeah.
Those are things that she had. So, you know, and it sounds like maybe he did suspect Oceanside, but I don't know. Then I suspected Dwight. So that obviously didn't work out.
Nah.
What else you got?
Well, I spoke about it before. I was on the Walker Stalkers podcast this past weekend after the episode. So I suggest everybody listen to that and give your opinion if you really want to jump into that thought. And same dead time, same dead channel next week.
Yeah, and Mark just like called in as a caller, but yeah, and they're done soon, so sounds like they didn't quite time what they thought the ending of Rick was going to be.
I think their last episode is on the last episode with Rick at this point.
I'd have to go look at the numbering, but
they have only two more episodes, I think.
That's, yeah, two more for...
Well, it's two more for Rick. I'm just going to look. No, they got three more because they're on the episode that was on Sunday night was 197. So they've got three more to do.
Wow.
Because they're going to retire the podcast at episode 200. So,
and there's supposed to be something more for that podcast, too, that apparently they're looking to do YouTube or something video-oriented.
Yeah.
So
that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be curious to know what they're going to do this weekend because, of course, Walker Stalker Con Atlanta is going on. And it's worth saying that, Mark, you are going to be at Walker Stalker Con Atlanta.
Yep.
Mark, once you know where people can meet up with you, we'll post something in the Facebook group and maybe on Twitter as well. So,
Definitely.
Yeah.
I'll actually post from the actual con itself.
Yeah.
Where I'm at. So if people that are in the Atlanta area for the con, I'll be at the con. I would say most likely Saturday and Sunday. So if anybody wants to meet up, say hi, take pictures or what have you, and just talk about the show, I'm more than willing. I'll be hanging around, watching the panels just like the most of you and getting my autographs and photo ops and having fun.
Cool.
So if you're listening, look for the other Kirkman. Probably the only Kirkman that is going to attend Walker Stalker Con.
And I might actually have a Kirkman sweater on me. So.
All right.
So, yeah. 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 It's like something that my sister-in-law had got me years ago. It says, legend Kirkman.
Oh, jeez. All right. Well, as far as the other notes that I had, I think we've said everything except for one thing that I have here that hasn't been discussed, and that's Judith's cough. Is anyone else a little worried about that?
No.
Not at all?
No.
Nope.
No, but I did make, you know, I did that in my little, like, sad sauce where I said Judith.
That's what you meant. That completely went over me.
I heard it and I saw it.
Well, I heard it.
That's why I put it in parentheses.
I heard it and I read it. I just didn't get it.
I think that's just a distraction.
It's a ruse.
Yeah, it's a ruse.
Like the actual prison from when everybody had the colds and the sickness, and then Herschel took over and was taking care of everybody.
Hmm.
Although the people did turn during that, but
yeah.
I just think they want you to think like, oh no, look, something's wrong with her. And it's just like, there's distraction.
Yeah.
Or everybody else tried to get their flu shots.
Oh, jeez. All right. Well, let's move on to news, ratings, and info.
A couple weird stories on the news.
All right. Well, The Walking Dead's ratings are slightly down and slightly up, depending on what you look at. It got an all-time low of 1.93 in the 18 to 49, but that's pretty close to what it was last week, with an improvement of 5.037 million viewers. So slightly up, slightly down. Last week was 1.98 and 4.947. So it broke the 5 million number again, but was slightly lower. So I tend to think that the next two episodes, especially now that the cat's out of the bag, I think ratings will be up the next two, and especially the second.
Yeah.
In 2 weeks.
The last two are going to be like everybody who fell off the ranch and want to actually see what happens, and then it's going to fall off again, or if not, grow.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I don't know what, a lot of it depends on how it works out, but we'll see. I don't know what ratings are going to be like after. I'm not even trying to figure that out yet. Talking Dead was up from last week. It got a 0.64 in the 18 to 49 with 1.869 million viewers. That's up from last week's 0.60 and 1.694 million viewers. As far as, this is not so much info about the episode, but info about Arat. I may have mentioned this way back in season 7 when she first appeared, but Arat was named after sort of a savior that's in the comic book whose name is Tara, and they didn't want to use that in the
show.
Yeah, because there already was a character named Tara, so they named her backwards Rat. Tara.
And I think Tara is here to stay.
You think so?
Yeah.
I really think so.
Hmm. And she wasn't in the episode this week, was she?
No.
Nope.
Yeah. Not that I saw. This is a little bit of fear news, and I'm going to credit Jason on Walking Dead cast because I had not even heard this one before. But Fear star Coleman Domingo, he's adapting his play Dot for AMC. To turn it into a series. That play premiered as another title of In the Middle of the Street. And that was first debuted in New York in 2016. So 2 years ago. And apparently the show follows a family in the fading neighborhood of West Philadelphia. And that family must confront old secrets in order to face the challenges of their present. It tackles aging parents, mirrored sexuality, and politics with humor and joy. And quote from him, it says, "It's a dark comedy about how the matriarch, her filter is gone, and you find out some secrets of the family. It reexamines what family is over many, many seasons. Hopefully, we're still mining the pilot." So, good for Coleman Domingo. I hope that works out. And yeah, so it sounds interesting. It sounds more of a drama than, you know, kind of Walking Dead fare, but then some intrigue, I guess.
Yeah.
Mark, I'm going to give Kyle a rest here, even though he's here, and let you say it. If you want to interact with us, tell our listeners how to do so.
Well, we want to encourage you to follow us on Twitter at WalkingDeadGSM. To submit your theories and feedback, most people post in our designated episode thread in our Facebook group, www.facebook.com/groups/WalkingDeadGSM. There's an issue with the feedback form, so we'd like to encourage you to use our email address, which is walkingdeadgsm@gmail.com. You can still go to goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback, where you can find our SpeakPipe widget and call 304-837-2278. The deadline for the next episode is Tuesday, October 30th at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central. check the Facebook group for any updates.
Yeah, in case that changes. And like, for example, Mark, you will be traveling with you going to Walker Stalker Con. So, you know, if there's a delay or anything like that. Originally, I was going to have company here that week, but it turns out that that's been postponed for a while. So, but in terms of other stuff, if we have an update, we will post it there.
The best way you can support us is by subscribing to us in Apple Podcasts, goldenspiralmedia.com/Apple. While you're there, give us a rating or a review. Find all the other ways to support GSM at www.goldenspiralmedia.com/support.
And I think I've said this for a few weeks now, but the Star Trek Discovery podcast will have an episode soon. We just have to work out the schedule. I envision us probably doing another roundtable soon. So when we do, we've got, you know, the Runaway short trek to cover, as well as the new New York Comic Con trailer and other news that has come out. But we haven't worked out a schedule for that. So we will be having an episode probably within the next month, probably before Thanksgiving, at least we will have another episode out. And I know, Mark, you've been busy.
Oh, I've been very busy. Actually, if anybody wants to hear me and Steve Brown, my co-host for Panels to Pixels, you can find us on the Next Level Podcast Network. And we have a lot going on. All of Jessica Jones has been dropped on iTunes as well as Google Play, as well as the first part of Luke Cage. And Steve and I will be back after everything has completely dropped for Luke Cage once I come back. So look for us in 2 weeks, and we'll be constant and real time and per every week. And we're looking for more feedback. So I think we're moving on to the Defenders podcast after Luke Cage. So if you have any questions, concerns, feel free to drop us a line. That would be panels2pixels@gmail.com.
Yeah, and from what I'm seeing, it looks like in the span of 2 days, you dropped 6 episodes. you have been busy.
I have been busy. So I'll say again, please drop us a line on our email, panels2pixels1@gmail.com, or our Facebook page, which is Panels to Pixels Podcast. Thank you.
Well, I don't really have anything. I'm still working on the tea and bananas, but maybe soon to come, you don't know. But thanks for letting me jump on tonight, because I always have so much fun. And
but we love you, Kyle. Well, come on.
Well, it's kind of one of those things where it's just like, oh, okay, it's now, you know, the Walking Dead, and like, you know, it's when I can have my little break from, you know, work and everything else to just like watching the show and listen to you guys. And I'm like, oh, I want to come say hi.
Kyle's going to get a Skype from me and Steve, and we're going to have tea and bananas on a Sunday.
I could see that. Okay, we'll see.
We shall see. All right. The next episode of The Walking Dead is titled The Obliged. And that's, of course, season 9, episode 4. And I guess you could call it the penultimate episode of Rick. And maybe I shouldn't have played that, because I'm going to play it again in a few seconds. That is written by a completely new writer to The Walking Dead. I will have to look her up to see what her background is next week. Geraldine Inouye. And obviously she's one of the new writers that we've heard about that has joined the show. Directed by Rosemary Rodriguez. And I believe she directed at least one episode last season. And I believe she's directed some fewer episodes as well. The description is Rick's vision of a civilized future is threatened by a sudden reckoning with past sins that remain unavenged and unforgiven.
It's a trap!
Why is that always funny? Until next time, I'm Brian.
And I'm Kyle.
And I'm Mark.
And this is the Walking Dead Talk Through. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Good night and dead night.